Frank! What the hell do you think you're doing? Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Ow!
You set fire in your brother's lab. You try to run away in my people mover. You call the police on me. And you think that entitles you to listen to records? What world are you living in where you think there's even a chance that you won't be grounded for the rest of the year?
You don't take a man's Jimmy Buffett records without asking either.
Hi, welcome to Venture Bros, Venture Brothers Podcast. With me, your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Nicholas Nightwing Friedman.
Oh, I was trying to think of it. Tim? Is it Tim?
Nope.
Damn, fuck.
There are some who call me Tim?
Yeah.
Tim. Who is Nightwing? Is it Dick?
It's Dick,
isn't it? Fuck.
It's Dick. You tried.
I panicked.
Yeah. I mean, I've given you two Robins so far. You did better with Red Hood and the Outlaws.
I thought Graham was Red Hood and the Outlaws.
You know, I don't really pay attention to these things. I know they are long-standing nicknames that you've been known as for so long. And I just don't.
It's true.
I'm sorry. I do what I can. Then we also have Graham Nebula Mason.
Hello. I'm here.
Yep. I went Marvel this time. I don't usually do that.
Yeah, it was weird. I was expecting, since you went Nightwing, to go like completely crazy and go with Darkwing, even though that was a cartoon and not a comic. But
Darkwing Duck had a comic. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was the name of the female Robin that died like immediately?
I don't know the one that died immediately. I know Carrie, because she was around during all the Dark Knight Returns stuff.
No, I think it was before that. It was one that I think Tim was dating. Doesn't matter.
Different thing.
Not the Venture Brothers.
Oh, so Tim's dating Oracle. Or has been dating her. Stephanie. Oh, what's her last name? And then he's really good friends with Orphan, but he never dates her because she's really young. That'd be kind of weird. But let's talk about Venture Brothers. As much as I would love to sit here and talk about Batman all day. This isn't that podcast. There's plenty of podcasts about Batman and very few about Venture Brothers, so let's do our jobs.
Yeah.
Perchance to Dean!
Yep.
This is an episode, it's the third episode of Season 4, and is largely known as the least popular episode of Season 4, if not, like, the most hated episode of Season 4.
I wonder why.
Hammer and Public even talk about it in their book about, like, yeah, this one doesn't click with people. We don't really know why. We thought it was a good one, but no one really seems to like it.
And, interesting.
I thought I was alone. No, I've never liked this episode. It is far and away my least favorite of the season. It's interesting when we get into the book, and we'll get to it when we start breaking it down and whatnot, how this episode came to be. And when you know that, it's like, oh, that's why this episode doesn't work. But we'll get there first, because before we do anything, Graham, our go-to breakdown expert, has to tell us everything that happens.
Yeah. All right.
You can do it, Graham. We believe in you.
That makes one of us.
Not even two? Nick, you don't have my back on this one?
I mean, even if he did, it's still, my confidence in myself is so low that it negates like the other vote.
We're starting at negative like 3 instead of okay. I gotcha. Yes. I gotcha. All right. Well, good luck. Let's make it snappy.
Perchance to Dean. Brock is back. Just kidding. That was a flashback. So Dean finds that his hair is falling out, and so he goes into a blackout. Hires a dragon to vanquish his hair loss enemies.
Hello.
And then, meanwhile, Dermot comes over and hangs out with Hank, and they blow up the compound.
That was...
and kill Dean.
That was terrible.
Yeah. None of those things actually happen, but they kind of make some reference to things that actually happen in the episode.
And they do kill a Dean.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
And portions of the compound do explode.
That's
So there's that.
You're not gonna mention the clone that survived being aborted?
Oh yeah, that happened too.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, Dean created him from his hair.
Nope. I mean, I'm glad that you're all in support of Dean on this one, but nope.
Well, at least he thought he did.
Sure. So this one, to fill in some blanks that are necessary to talk about it, because Graham is the best. Basically, the things that we need to mention that Graham did not is that Dean has his own science lab because Rusty has decided that Dean is going to take after him. And he gives him his first science setup. And that's the only really, really important thing that Graham missed in his otherwise near-perfect breakdown.
Flawless, I would say.
I would say flawed, personally, but that's okay. So where do you guys stand on this one? Are we all kind of in agreement that this one's kind of a...
Yeah.
I mean, in the fourth time that I've watched this episode for this podcast, I was enjoying it.
Yeah, it's not as bad as, like, I don't hate this episode.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's right. It just doesn't have the charm. It doesn't have the, you know, the pizzazz that all the other ones do.
You know what actually really bothers me about this episode is it feels like a Treehouse of Horror Simpsons episode.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
it doesn't quite fit. It's using the same characters. There's not really continuity with the rest of the stuff. Like, there is, obviously, but it's kind of like a weird Monster of the Week thing that doesn't quite land, and it borrows a lot. I mean, weirdly, it borrows a lot from random Treehouse of Horror episodes.
Yeah, I could see that. And it's
interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, though, because, like, as much as entertaining as those episodes can be, they never feel like a real Simpsons episode, and this one kind of feels the same way for Venture Brothers.
Right.
Where it's kind of like one-off, kind of just fits kind of wherever it needs to fit. And this kind of feels like that, too. It's like you could kind of place this pretty much anywhere in the chronology of at least this season.
I'd say after the break it'd be tough, but in the front half, I'd say.
Okay, I forgot this is the longest. But yeah.
But before the jump, yeah, I'd say you can put this really anywhere. And the interesting thing, and I mentioned it because I had to read the book on this one, because when there's an episode that I just don't like, I'm like, all right, what were you trying to do? Like, what did I as the fan miss? And the interesting thing about this episode is that the entire thing came to be because they thought it was really funny to have Rusty into prog rock and get Dean into prog rock to get him into science.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the basis of the whole thing. It's like a 2-minute joke in the episode. And then it started there, and like, well, that's not enough for a whole episode. They just kept putting more and more stuff in, and then it slowly chipped away at that thing to where that just became a joke in the episode, and everything else became this, like, weird Hank thinks he killed Dean plotline.
And then The Shining.
Yeah, The Shining thing. And
yeah.
And the break the police raid on the compound and exploding Dr. Rogers.
Can we talk about the civilian part of it? Because it's the part to me that bothers me the most in subsequent rewatches.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is when, for a long time, and I'm pulling this one from the book, is like they mentioned that they wanted to bring in neighbors and civilians more and more because they thought it'd be funny to have the juxtaposition of crazy sci-fi arch nemesis world and I work for UPS.
Yeah.
And we kind of get that in this a little bit. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what they learned every time they bring in civilians is that it doesn't really work. Like, it works okay, and sometimes it works better than others. But
yeah,
by and large,
it works kind of like a punchline, and then that's kind of it. You're like, all right, next.
Yeah, like it worked great in, say, last week's episode with like the news showing the cocoon over Captain Sunshine's house, like aliens are here. Like, okay, that's a funny take, but like this one, I think it just plows right through that line of comedy into just straight annoying.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's also, it doesn't make a lot of logical sense. Like, a lot of the time when they bring in civilians, it's to, as we've said, like, make a punchline or to kind of provide an outside perspective that's like, this is absurd, you know? Like, yeah. Maybe not every civilian knows about the monarch. That totally makes sense. But every civilian should know about Venture Industries, considering how big it is, considering we've seen billboards for it. They own a giant building in Manhattan later on and earlier on. And they have, like, they are
Gargantua 1, which is the largest spacecraft that's floating over the Earth right now.
Yeah. And they're looking at the Venture compound.
Sorry, I need to interrupt. Floating over the Earth right now. Gargantua 1 crashed, sir. Gargantua 2 is being built right now.
Okay, yes, correction, yes.
Come on.
Not right now. I was, okay, yes. Gargantua 1 crashed. Gargantua 2 is currently being built. But there are spacecrafts that they have built that are currently still floating over the universe.
Thank you.
But it would be like if we had a movie now where people were looking at the, you know, like a Google sort of compound or campus and being like, this is new to me. What is this, a cult? And you're like, it's Google. Like, I don't know.
Haven't heard of it. Sounds suspicious.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's on top of like they work for the government. They have government contracts. Yeah. Like, so when the police are like, what's going on over there? We should go inspect. They're a government facility. Like, they're not owned by the government, but they do contract for them all the time.
Yeah, and you sure as hell cannot go in there.
Yeah, like...
Local police? No.
So this, it feels like an episode, and maybe that's why it bumps us as fans so much, that requires, like, a suspension of disbelief in the world that we already have. And I think that's why it bumps us so much. Because everything else in the Venture Brothers is like, once you're into Venture Brothers, you're going to love everything from here on out for the most part. There'll be some bumps in the road, obviously. Not everybody's totally perfect. But for the most part, you're in. And this is the only one that feels like it kind of forgets that.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, too, is like, even the civilians aren't civilians. Like, you know, the joke, which I kind of liked, was the just because he's black doesn't mean he has The Shining. But
right.
He does. He does have some sort of The Shining, which is hilarious. And it's like, if you would have taken that and then just gone after a Shining story from that, of like, then he has to, like, you know, get a car and, you know, whatever, drive through an ice storm to get back to the place. And then he gets to the compound and then there's a horror massacre there. That would be kind of funny. But just because they just kind of dip into, just because he's black, it doesn't mean he has The Shining, but he does actually have The Shining, and then they reference it one or two more times. But then other than that, he's still a civilian, and then he gets the cops involved, and then the actual story, which isn't that strong, and falls apart. It's like, it's just weird. It's like, why wouldn't you build on the one thing that I seem to like and work, which is the Shining idea, and then just build on that more, as opposed to have that just kind of be there also.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, it's just kind of it's kind of like what I was saying a moment ago. Like, there's just too many things that just, like, this isn't what we agreed to.
Yeah, and it also feels like it lacks a lot of the finesse that some of the other Venture Brothers plot lines have, right? Where it's like, in the past, we know magic exists. We were introduced to that very early on in season one with Dr. Orpheus. Yeah. So why not have, you know, some sort of throwaway line or something that's like, oh, he actually has, like, untapped magic powers, right? Maybe that's an explanation, which would kind of at least hand wave away some of this stuff. Maybe the local police was in contact with Brock. Brock's the one who normally kept them away. That would be something that I think that we would all buy. It's not a great idea, but at least it makes sense. And then they can't contact Brock. And you're like, oh, okay, this makes sense as to why they're reacting this way. But otherwise, the compound's not new. It's the UPS guys all of a sudden getting heebie-jeebies from the compound, where it's like, this is probably one of the more normal days on the compound.
I mean, with the exception of, I mean, Hatred is building a bunch of rusty bombs, which is weird.
And it's, but he gets heebie-jeebies before that, though.
That's true. But you said this is a normal day on the compound. Yeah. There are rusty bombs being made, which is slightly abnormal.
Slightly,
but that's still fairly tame. Until they explode, nothing is abnormal.
Yeah, that's true. moving past kind of that whole aspect of it, I think the other reason I'm not a big fan of this episode is I kind of hate the clone. I hate the storyline of the clone. He annoys me. I hate that he's building a Dean suit. That just felt weird. And, like, it didn't feel weird in that fun Venture Brothers sort of way. It just kind of felt weird as, like, why?
Yeah.
Right. I like the, I mean, there's, like, I like the idea that he's hiding out in the compound. The idea that the compound's almost way too big for, a group of four to really, like, you know, maintain it, I think is funny, that he could just kind of exist there.
Especially because they only have one bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, that is the most insane part of this episode. Also not true. Doc Venture has his own bathroom attached to his bedroom.
Oh, he does.
This is a weird episode.
Is that the bathroom, though?
I don't think so, because Monarch makes a big point of it in the one in the Tag Steel Urit episode of taking his shit in Doc's bathroom.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but this isn't... Have we already seen...
Tag Steel Urit? Yeah, we saw that a while ago.
Yeah. But no, the... Monarch 21 and a few others break into the compound and and then Sergeant Hatred is stuck on the toilet, on the only toilet, blocking 21 from using the toilet.
Yeah, but again, way back in season one, we've already established there's another one. I think we just kind of forgot about it, which is fine. It's one of those things where, like, you know what, it leads to some funny moments. I'm okay with forgetting that one, but it's just another bruise in this episode, which is kind of frustrating.
Right. But back to D19.
Yes. There's just something weird about him, and not in a fun way. Like I love the whole obsession with Dean thing. I think that's great. And it even leads to one of my favorite lines in the entire thing, because Hank is just so fucking Hank. But, like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, I don't like the running monologue. I don't like him seeing the fake Rusty. And maybe it's just because I know Rusty's such a shitty dad that I'm like, why would you want Rusty?
Right. Well, it's weird because we're obviously supposed to kind of root against him but pity him, right? I think that's kind of the idea.
Definitely.
But he's not very good at anything. Like, in a weird sort of way, if he was, like, a better scientist than Dean, that would kind of be something to hang your hat on and be like, oh, like, he's actually, in a weird sort of way, exactly what Rusty wants. Then you'd be kind of rooting for him. But I'm rooting for him to die the whole time just because I don't really have a reason to root for him. And then at that point, I'm rooting for a villain that's not a particularly... Or rooting against a villain that's not a particularly good or entertaining villain.
Yeah. And, it's just another moment of, like, I don't know which way they should have gone with it. Should they have made him more relatable and more likable, or should they made him more of a villain? Like, maybe he killed a few Deans. Like, maybe he did something like that. That would have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because all he's done so far is he just cherry-picks flesh off of the discarded Deans. And, like, that's a funny kind of gross thing, but they don't really do much with it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that it's like, man, it would be better if he were actually good at this, but he's just Dean.
Yeah. I mean, he still is Dean.
And it's like, you can't expect him to be anything else, but why do I care?
Yeah.
Right.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up, we kind of touched on it earlier, and I just kind of want to come back around to it, is the exploding Rusties.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've seen this episode, I'm like, what's the plan here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you have a 10,000 Rusties, like, with their hands on their hips, looking grumpy in the front yard for what?
Right.
Because to confuse the enemy.
Yeah.
But they don't move.
They don't move. Like, I don't...
No, but it's confusing, though.
And then it just comes down to, like, they had to write in something to kill fake Dean or D19. And it was like, oh, let's do a statue that he'd think was his real dad and hug him and die. And it's like, okay, so how are we going to... And then it felt like... So much Adventure Brothers, and I know this is not true, but it feels like it's always moving forward. Like, it's like, all right, so we're going to start the episode, and we're just going to move forward and get to where we're going. And this one felt like, all right, we want to have this moment, and this moment. Let's work backwards till we get an episode.
For sure.
And because they worked backwards, which I'm sure they've done before and it just works better, but this time it never clicked. So when we're working backwards, it's like, all right, so I just see what we're doing here. We're just like, you're setting a domino here so that it can end over there. Like, it's just, you can see the seams and the strings too much.
Right. Well, I mean, going backwards a week, I think that we talked about how the two storylines didn't necessarily, like, you kind of, one overshadows the other one, but they're both working in tandem. They're both working forward at the same time. In this, it's like, so you have the Sergeant Hatred Doc stuff, which kind of doesn't really go anywhere until the very end. And even then, it kind of doesn't really go anywhere. You have, like, and it just continues like that, where it's like, well, you have the Hank storyline with Hank and Dermot, which, like, kind of ties into the Dean thing, but not quite. Like, there's a bunch of weird stuff that, like, doesn't work together. Like you're saying, it's just kind of, like, shot out, and they're tied together with a string, but they don't converge. They don't, at least not in a meaningful or satisfying way.
Yeah.
Yep.
And as much as I want to...
Their seed ideas are funny, you know. It's like, I like the Shining moment. I like the D19 death moment. I think that's hilarious. I mean, that's my favorite moment.
It's the best line for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's great, but unfortunately, the rest of the episode isn't even, like, good enough or, like, very entertaining enough to support the rest of it. It's like you just got a few bits and you're like, eh, all right. And those are the only moments that I'll remember. The rest of this episode, you know, that I've seen many, many times, the rest of the episode I totally forget about.
Yeah. And it's really unfortunate because when I watch this episode, because whenever I do, like, a watch through the show, which now I'm obviously going much slower than I usually do, because usually I just plow through this entire thing in about a week. And now I'm pacing myself with as we're reviewing them, so it's been kind of weird, but it's been good. But whenever I come back around to this episode, there's always a nugget in there that I think is phenomenal, and if they'd been the whole episode, it'd be one of my favorites. And that is seeing Rusty trying to befriend Dean.
Yes.
I love this. Like, it is like it's the main reason why I don't skip this episode when I go through rewatches. Everything from him trying to get him to listen to prog rock, from him trying to impress him, from him giving him his own station, like, all of it. I just love Rusty's, like, you know what? We're going to be friends. And it's always kind of like, it's always entertained me. And then when I go to the book, and I'm going to read a portion of the book, which I don't usually do, but I have to because it's so good. And it's I think it's Jackson Public, talking about what he thought Rusty's motivation through the episode was. He said he's basically, it's Doc wants Dean to be him, and it's genuine, but in a narcissistic way. You're gonna fall in my footsteps, and also I need a friend because I don't have any friends, Dean. I'll never be able to relate to your brother. He's clinically brain damaged, I'm pretty sure. He got all your nutrients in the womb, and I don't think that's fair either, Dean. I sympathize with you because he's the huskier build, because, you know, he took all your nutrients. And I think that, like, I mean, obviously it's coming from the creator's mouth, so that's what they intended, but I think that's very clear. Like, he just doesn't really like Hank too much, and this is his first real push of, like, no, we're going to be buddies. You're going to be into super science just like I am, and it's going to be great.
Yeah. He tried to get him to wear a speed suit earlier on, didn't quite take, and now he's at least kind of letting Dean lean into, like, he's trying a new avenue, you know what I mean? He's like, music. Maybe Dean likes music.
And the best thing is that, like, because of this approach, like, we don't really talk about this very much because Rusty's such a, you know, consistent failure. He doesn't fail here.
Yeah.
Like, I was just going to say, it's like he has a couple wins. You know, he actually does a pretty good job of being a supportive, I mean, obviously through selfish means, but being a supportive dad. You know, like, here's the egg, right? Here's the music. Here's all of this other stuff. Here's your own lab that you can do all of this other good stuff with. It's like, yeah, he gets kind of Dean in the groove and past Trinky Dinks, which is good. Still don't know why he sleeps with those, but, you know, whatever.
I love it. the Trinky Dinks. But you even notice, like, after this, he starts wearing speed suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like exactly. It takes a little while, but it works. Like, what he aimed to do worked. And I really appreciate that, especially in this episode that's so all over the place in terms of quality. Like, the fact that we have this one moment, or this one kind of their storyline, which I feel like probably should have been the main storyline, because it kind of hints that it is, but never really fully commits to it. This would have been a much better episode.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think that it is a weird thing because I think this is easily the start of what we consider, or we could consider, modern Dean, right? Like, yeah. It's probably this episode. You could split it from pre this episode to post this episode. Besides that, you know, like, Hank, I feel like, is weirdly continuing the same disgruntled Hank from last week's episode. Though you just have more evidence of his dad kind of despising him.
Kind of?
Openly, I would say. Why can't I train for my career? Well, who says you're not doing that right now? It's like Hank's unloading boxes. It's like, Jesus Christ. That's your son.
You can always trust Rusty to be Rusty.
That's true.
You have to remember whose best friend is Pete White. Like, this guy is not a great dude. Yeah.
Not at all. God. But it shows kind of, besides that, like, there's really not much. Like, hatred's not particularly funny or memorable in this episode.
No.
The side characters aren't particularly punchy. They're just kind of there to move the plot forward. Which is weird because usually the side characters in this show are pretty spot on, and it falls flat here. It's just, there's a lot of stuff that's very non-Venture Brothers-y about this episode. And I know that we keep coming back to that point, but I think that it's really accurate in this episode.
Yeah, and not only is it really accurate, it's more problematic. Like, I feel like when there's an episode that's not totally Venture Brothers, like, it's for a good reason, and, like, they're rare and few and far between. I think it's mostly, like, seasons, like, 5, 6, 7 that there would be even anything like that. But they always work. Like, you can always tell why they're going slightly against the grain, and because they're doing that, it feels even more so Venture Brothers. Whereas this one, it just never fully connected. Like, it never clicked in place like it should have.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that we really need to? I've kind of gone over my notes a couple times. I don't think we've really missed anything.
No. We didn't talk about Dermot, which is actually another bright point in this episode. Oh, I really do enjoy Dermot here. It's not quite peak Dermot, but it's...
God, he's so terrible. So hard to watch.
He's the best.
He really is so the best. Like, everything from We Killed Dean on, I love Dermot. Like, he is just the worst friend, and he's such a piece of shit, but my God, is he brilliant.
Oh, he's amazing. His excuse for how Dean, beat him up is great.
Just still owe him a beatdown. Didn't he kind of beat you up?
Yeah, but I had, a totally, massive stomach flu at the time.
Oh, God. Dermot.
He's just such a chode. It's fantastic.
The reason that he's there is like, yeah, I'm grounded too, but I broke out ninjutsu. Anyways.
I love that he just says ninjutsu.
Oh, it's so good.
But I think my favorite Dermot thing of the entire episode has to be they steal the people mover, which is great. They're on the road. They're running to Mexico. And he's like, here, pull over here. I have to go home. I got a curfew.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Dermot, you are always Dermot.
Pick me convinces up some fireworks him. And some Spanish fly.
Oh, yeah. He convinces him to do the worst possible thing and then bails, like a typical Dermot move.
Oh, yeah. It's scarily Dermot.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's pretty much everything. I think we should move into our favorite quote of the episode.
Yeah.
Nick, you want to go first?
Sure. So mine is actually a Dermot quote, which is when they steal, I don't know what even model kind of car it is, but it's Rusty's car. And Hank's like, I don't think I should take it off the compound. And Dermot's like, you didn't think I should have hotwired it either. And Hank's like, that's because I had the keys. Ugh,
And then they also reference it later to where it's like he didn't actually hotwire it.
No, yeah. Of course not. Like, Dermot knows how to hotwire a car.
Yeah, like, at first, that I was like, oh, damn, he actually did something. And then later he's like, yeah, but we didn't. You still use the keys.
Yeah.
Oh, Dermot's the kind of person to say, like, I can pick this lock and then basically mangle the lock and, like, snap off a few things in it and just be like, oh, it's this must be a super lock. Like, it's just like, you didn't know how to do it. Just admit that you didn't know.
It's like that episode of Friends where Joey's trying to pick a lock, and halfway through he's like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. I could just be locking it more.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, my quote, I had two, and that was unfortunately one of them, but that's okay.
Damn!
Well, because my follow-up is the one that makes me laugh the most, so I'm going to go with that one. And it's a moment of sincerity from Rusty, which you don't get very often at all. And he had left Dean, poor Dean, unattended, listening to his prog rock. Then he comes in, and Dean's just passed out on the floor. And Rusty just gets down and looks up and goes, he's in a Floyd hole!
Fill the tub with ice!
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man.
All right, last but not least.
Mine is the punchline of the whole episode.
Yes.
Which is finally when Dean reaches out and embraces his most loving father and explodes. The line is just simply, Daddy! Boom! And then Rusty finally comes out and you're like, who the hell was that? So good.
It's so Rusty.
The moment of release that we all need from watching this episode of like, oh, all of that meant nothing. Great. We can go back to regular Venture Brothers now.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I liked everything that comes next. And I love that joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish the whole episode fired on all cylinders, like the few things that do, but...
Yeah. Because, like, we talked about it quickly, and I'll just say this, is, like, last episode was all about Hank, and his whole, you know, structure and arc throughout the whole episode was pretty fun, and everything else was pretty fun along with it. And this episode was all about Dean, but Dean was kind of like an afterthought or a second thought, or, like, his story is definitely the best and the strongest and the thing that we actually care about. And the rest of the episode is just like, all right, whatever.
And
yeah.
I know we're pretty much done with the review, but what you just said kind of brought up a good point. And then I'll say this, and then we'll start our plugs and whatnot. I think you just kind of hit the nail on the head of that it's a lot easier to write for Hank than it is to write for Dean.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't think they really nail that till way later on in the series.
Oh my gosh.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is that I think Hank is kind of peaking now as far as like, I mean, granted, Hank, I think, is amazing throughout the entire show, but I think that what
Enrique
you're trying
Matassa.
To do with him...
Oh, peak yeah. Hank is when he opens his store in the hangar.
Totally, totally. I mean, like, what I mean as far as, like, where we're seeing the transformation, it's easier and I think also a little bit more fun to go along with Hank.
Yeah.
And Dean's a little bit more complicated because Hank's life is kind of a little bit simpler. Like, Hank knows what he wants to do and Dean doesn't. And I think that that's also part of the problem.
Absolutely.
True.
All right, so quick round of plugs, and then we'll say goodbye. Be sure to listen to After the Hype every Thursday at 10 a.m. Listen to Samwise every Tuesday or Wednesday at 10 a.m., depending on how we do our articles that week. Be sure to check out articles at athpod.com. We've had a ton of traction there recently reading articles, and we only have more and good stuff coming up, so keep checking back. That's all of my plugs. You guys plug in anything this week?
No.
Nope. Okay. Be sure to tune in next week when we talk about not just 21's episode, but really 21's episode of Return to Malice. I love next week's episode.
So good.
It's so good. So thank you everyone for listening, and bye.
Bye.
Toodles.
Toodles.
Toodles.